This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 218 for the week ending Saturday, April 5th, 2014. April 5th. Hello, good morning, good afternoon, whatever. Welcome to Catholic Weekend. I'm Captain Jeff in Roswell, Georgia. Joining me today from Conyers, Georgia, Maria Johnson. Oh, hang on, Maria. I'm going to do this. Maria Johnson.
There we go.
Now talk.
Hi, guys. How's everybody today?
I unmuted the first time that we tried this show this morning.
Oh, train wreck, full force. Choo-choo.
Oh, you hadn't seen anything yet. And
it's very rare when we
oops,
actually
that's
start.
Not...
Great.
Joining us from the heart of Buckhead, we have the lovely Sarah Fabulous.
Good morning. Yes, it's train wreck day.
Good morning. And it is still morning, by the way. Almost noon here in the East Coast. All right. So let me turn that off. There we go. Okay. Hello, ladies. Welcome to Catholic Weekend. Thank you for joining me this morning. And, we've been talking a little bit during the pre-show activities about various things, one of which was something we just mentioned right before we started, which is, how about that pollen?
Oh, boy.
So does this, right now in Atlanta, or probably in the Southeast, this really, really, it's actually pretty big particles, and they're yellow particles, and it's from the pine trees. And, but... that pollen doesn't bother me at all. All it does is just get all over everything and turns everything yellow. But mm-hmm. Does it bother you? Does it give you like headache or allergy symptoms at all, Maria?
It's all in my lungs right now because I was out on the porch with John. We had breakfast out there this morning, and we've got some guys coming in to do a little bit of work in our backyard. So I was out there, so I feel super congested. So I'm sorry if I cough throughout the show. But it doesn't, it's just chunks of stuff in the air that's really gross.
I have to take Claritin this time of year or I get really, really sick.
But, I mean, like right now you have to? Because, right now it doesn't bother me at all.
Right now I have to. I even have a headache despite taking meds.
So, for me, the stuff that really gets me is the stuff that comes about 1 to 2 weeks after I see the yellow stuff. And that's all the tree pollens, like oak and
those are really fine particles, though.
Yeah. Right? And they're the ones that just cause me havoc. And usually
but
it's only a couple
of those are going on too simultaneously.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think they're like just barely starting, like very minimal levels of them. And then we have, I don't know if you're, you know, what area of the country you're living in, if you're listening to the show or watching it right now. But you know, like normal, like when it gets up to like the high level, that's what, 100 or something like that. Mm-hmm. We have it like thousands, tens of thousands. I mean, it's like multiples of high levels of pollen down here. And
yeah, it'll be 3,000. It was like 2,700 yesterday, I think.
Wow, already.
Yeah, isn't that awful?
Yeah, I got that to
I think I'll go take a. I think I'll go take a walk down to the lake and take a picture of the bank.
Oh, because it has that yellow tide or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks like it looks like the gold on your epaulets.
Yeah, it does actually.
It's really disgusting. I want you to wipe the pollen off your shoulders.
Nice little lines on my epaulets. I am wearing, if you're just listening to the audio, I just got back this morning from fabulous Flint, Michigan, and flew an overnight trip and got back this morning. Landed in Atlanta right around 8 o'clock. Ran to the train and hopped on the train and made it home as quickly as I could. And that's why we're starting a little bit late this morning. So thank you for indulging us on that this morning. But anyway, Yeah, that's about it. So how's your week been, Miss Maria?
It's been good. It's been good. A lot of work, as usual. We had a bit of an audit going on at the school, so I worked on a Friday, which really put me out.
Oh, no wonder you're in such a sour mood. Because usually you're home on Fridays, right?
Yeah, we only do 4 10s. So we had to do five. I did 4 10s and a five.
I do 2 20s. I don't know what that means.
I do 5 9s.
5 9s?
Yeah.
I don't even want to think about it. So how was your week, Sarah?
Oh, you know, my life, always so fascinating and interesting. I did go to Cincinnati last weekend for opening day. So I was there Monday, left Monday afternoon, and they have parade in Cincinnati for baseball opening day. It was awesome.
Serious.
That's supposed to be awesome. The epic opening day, the definitive opening day.
It is, and let me assure you, it was.
And wow. Who did they play?
They played the Cardinals.
And did they win?
No, they lost on opening day. I did not go to the game because I had to catch a flight on Acme Airlines, and they overlapped.
You can actually use the real airline name on the show if you want.
Oh, to say Acme. The guy's in uniform. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, right. except where I did take my my wings off, so you can't tell what company I fly for.
And then I saw Captain America on Thursday night, and it was super. So, Captain Jeff, I saw your cousin, Captain America.
Yeah, I was going to say, Captain, I think I know him.
And it was great. So good. Definitely recommend, you know, everyone go see it. And, you know, if you have children, be wary. There's some, you know, violence because it's a comic movie, but definitely recommend. Very entertaining story, and I was engaged throughout the movie.
I heard it was kind of like more like Avengers 2 than Captain America, because they had
See that. Yeah, they made quite a few jokes that you know, pulled in the Avengers and all of that. It was really nice.
Mm-hmm. Have you had a chance to see the movie Noah?
No.
Okay.
I got my priorities off, huh?
Yeah. I have zero interest.
Zero interest, yeah.
Zero interest. I'm going to go watch a high school production of Shrek.
Oh, fun.
At 3.
Wow. Did I mention you don't have any kids in high school anymore, do you, Maria?
No, but I miss band competitions and.
Yeah, I do too.
Choral festivals and things like that.
Well, did I mention that Natalie, you know, she's a dancer and she's in the dance program at Blessed Trinity, which is the Catholic high school up here in Roswell. And they did their high school spring musical this year was Cats. Did I talk about that last week?
No.
I think I went to see it. Ago. I went to see it after the show. Well, that night, last Saturday night. And it was amazing. They did a beautiful job. It was very, very professional. The singers were like, you weren't sitting there going, like, if I kind of squint my ears, it'll sound really good. Kind of like you squint your eyes and everything looks better. But you didn't have to do that. There was nobody like completely awfully out of tune or way out of tempo. And the band was like, it was like a live band. It was mostly the students, but they, and I thought really when I was listening to the musical that it was really all high school students, and I was really impressed with the trumpet player. And I went up there after the thing, and I wanted to congratulate them on what a great job they did. And then I realized that they had a couple professionals in there, one of whom was the trumpet player, because it was just he was really good. I'm thinking, wow, I was good in high school, but not that good. Really impressed. But anyway, the music was great. The dancing was fantastic. Natalie did a beautiful job. She kind of had a special role in the dance sequences and that kind of thing. So very, very cool. So
it's a fun musical.
Shrek,
and I love
the musical. I've never heard of Shrek, the musical.
Yeah. I'm going to go see it to support. One of the children of some friends of ours is in it. And, and she knew, I always took her when she was a little girl. I always took her to the productions at the high school when my kids were in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said, oh, you know, I'm performing in it, and would you like to come? She's one of the Duloc dancers.
Nice.
What does that mean, Duloc dancers?
Don't you know Shrek?
No.
At the beginning, when they come into the town, there's
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that maybe that was some kind of a Atlanta dance troupe.
No. She's a small piece in it, but I'm going to go see it. I enjoy it. I love all that stuff.
I do, too.
Let me tell you, we're spoiled in our county because our arts program is magnificent here. But did you know that the state of Georgia has its own Tony Awards for high schools?
No way.
Yes. And they walk a red carpet and everything. I think they just had it this month or at the end of March.
So what's the county you're in?
Rockdale.
I hear the children of Rockdale County or something.
Shut up. Shut up.
Just look it up. Children of Rockdale County.
Oh, you guys. You got to be nice to each other. I don't want to have
sorry.
To play police here. Probably.
Mom says to knock it off.
I couldn't resist. My bad. No, really, if you want to know what we're talking about, just Google it.
You don't want to know. Just don't Google it. Yourself
okay. Don't. Yeah. It's probably not appropriate. Anyway, lots
you're
of talent.
Okay.
Oh, my. Well,
it's going to be like that. Watch a bird, Cedric.
Well, he's that close to from having his neck wrung. That's how my Cedric is. Hey, speaking of Hot Pockets and spas.
I love those. They're so terrible and poisonous.
Sarah, do you have something to talk about, something to do with spas and Hot Pockets?
Okay, so when I was out to dinner with some friends on Thursday night before we went to see Captain America, some lovely folks brought to my attention the fact that a Notre Dame student got arrested last Sunday morning in downtown South Bend for breaking into a spa and eating all of their Hot Pockets.
An impressive.
I'm not kidding. Okay.
So yeah, read it.
The story that I'm referring to is on dailycaller.com. Now, if you Google this, it's on a number of places now, including BuzzFeed. But I feel strongly about this Daily Caller column because they wrote it so well. So firstly, the student got into the spa by using a 100-pound flower pot to break through windows.
Okay. Why use a 30-pounder?
Go for 100.
Okay? Why not?
And so they found him at 9:30 on Sunday morning, passed out on the second floor kitchen of this massage therapy spa facility. So police say that McCurran, 19, had warmed up an impressive number of Hot Pockets in a microwave and consumed them. He helped himself to some tasty drumsticks, too. However, he seems to have become satiated and passed out at some point while eating the drumsticks. The Mainville, Ohio native also had some macaroni and cheese bubbling in an antique-style oven when he passed out.
Now, so I guess he's not on the meal plan at Notre Dame?
I guess not. But really, you guys, let's discuss. Okay. Why does a massage parlor have Hot Pockets and macaroni and cheese?
Well, you know, sometimes those massages really make you hungry.
An impressive number of Hot Pockets
and a lot of those tasty drumsticks.
Right. Also, you picked up a hammer and dug through some drywall.
So what did the blood analysis come back with?
Lots of pot.
Let's see. He had a 0.106 in the breathalyzer test.
Oh, that's pretty high.
That's really high.
Yeah, 0.1. I mean, what's the legalist?
It's
0.02?
0.08, right?
0.08 or something.
I think is the legal limit.
And that's like you can hardly stand up.
No, 0.08 is for you to drive, and I think that's two drinks. But still, the fact that this guy had 0.106 at 9:30 on Sunday morning, like, what was he drinking?
Wow.
Well, I think he was probably drinking all night long.
Yeah,
and he just got. I understand. You get the munchies.
You shouldn't be drinking that much to begin with. Number one, it's a morality issue. So, you know.
At what point do you get the alcohol poisoning and die?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd stay far away
from
all of that.
At what point
do
you get the hot pocket poisoning is what I'd like.
Right. I mean, just recently Hot Pockets had to recall a bunch of their products because they didn't have real, like, meat fit for human consumption. Like,
oh, gosh.
So not only could this kid have been eating those, but he just didn't know what he was doing. Drunk guy using electronic devices like an antique oven just sounds like a fire, if you ask me.
Father Daryl,
why is there an antique oven there?
I don't know. Father Daryl's just joining the chat room, and he goes, I logged in to hear drumsticks as the first word spoken. Looks like this is a great episode.
It is. Terrible.
Yeah, well, Lynn has the link there to the Daily Caller article about the Notre Dame student who broke into a South Bend spa.
To eat an impressive number of Hot Pockets.
An impressive number and tasty drumsticks.
Impressive.
Yeah. Yes. So I just had to share that with you guys. Like, obviously it's embarrassing because, you know, I went to school up there, but at the same time, like, kid, grow up.
How about I live in Rock Hill County? You can do whatever you want to, Sarah.
My message to good old, what's his first name?
Jeff.
It doesn't say. Oh, Brian. Oh. Hey, Brian, grow up. You're 19. You shouldn't be drinking anyway.
Or True. Eating copious amounts of Hot Pockets.
Right.
I thought maybe it could have been in Colorado and he was just eating a lot of those brownies.
Did you see that there was a high school student that was arrested for selling laced brownies in school?
No, in Colorado?
No, here locally.
Oh.
Are you serious?
I'm sorry. Georgia, Colorado, I get confused. I thought it was okay in Georgia.
Hey, on a serious note, we did pass the medical marijuana thing.
Yay.
For the, just for the oil. For the.
Yeah, well.
Whatever.
Okay.
Well, that's good to know.
Notable things.
Well, speaking of other notable things in Atlanta, did you hear about the little scuffle butt? The little snafu. What would you call it?
Small minor controversy.
Minor controversy regarding the. Okay, so who wants to set it up? Margaret Mitchell's.
Margaret Mitchell's nephew. Joseph. Passed away about 2 years ago, okay? He left the Archdiocese, his home in Buckhead, and it's on a prime piece of real estate. And he also left $15 million. Now, he left this money with the intention of the Archbishop building himself a new home to live so that he could move out of his old home so that that could then be converted into the new rectory for the priest of the cathedral so they could tear down the rectory at the cathedral
earmarked.
Yes.
Okay.
To build more classroom space and more meeting space for both the school and the church. Mm-hmm. So as a member of the parish, I can assure you that there are about 4 or 5 meeting spaces at any one given time. At a parish with 5,000 families, you can only have 4 or 5 meetings, group things, whatever, at one time. Imagine how difficult that is to have no meeting space. And some of that space is over in the school where you have to have a meeting in the school cafeteria. Mm-hmm. Not awesome when the tables are the chairs that the elementary school kids sit at.
Yeah, use your imagination.
Right. So there's
those tables that have the round little seats that are connected to it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Great, right?
Great for a wedding reception.
Yeah, perfect. So there's really only one room that can be used, and they can put up those accordion walls to separate it off so it can become two rooms. That's really the only classy place for meetings that's not super run down and built maybe in like the 60s or 70s. And so there's just such a need on campus to build more meeting space. Well, it's landlocked. There's homes behind it. There's another church across the street. There's home, like condos next to the parking garage. There's no room for growth except to just redo the small piece of land that they have. And so all this money was given with the intent of doing this. So Archbishop Gregory moved forward and he built a home on this piece of property that Joseph Mitchell left. And, you know,
Hold on now. He raised the existing house that was there. Okay.
Yes.
So there's all kinds of elements to this story that can be blown up and misconstrued. So let's have it all out there.
Yeah. So I was going to say that. So he built a home without really consulting anybody else on its, let's say, size. And so it's a very large home that costs $2.2 million or $2 million or something about something on those lines. I'm getting how much the cathedral paid for his old home versus what he built his new home to be. So you'll have to excuse me for that. But, you know, the cathedral paid, I think, $2.2 million for their new home, which it wasn't just for the house. Like, you got to understand, that piece of property is on one of the most wanted streets in all of Atlanta. So you're paying for the property, not just the actual house. So that's in Atlanta, in the city, that's pretty much going great. And so, so he built this home, but he didn't exactly talk to a lot of people about it to stop and think, should I actually be tearing down this home and building a new one? So now there's a big discussion on, was this a good use of funds? I fall on the side of, I think everything that's gone on to give the cathedral priests a new place to live falls within proper use. Joseph Mitchell died, and in his will, he gave the money for this purpose. Also on top of this, he gave money that Catholic Charities now uses, Catholic Charities Atlanta now uses for a person to have a job. They were able to hire a whole new person to employ for years and years to come because of money that he gave. That's a big deal.
A whole new person. Not three quarters of a person or 9/10 of a person.
One whole person.
Thanks for ruining that one. But seriously, that's a big, like, employing a new person is it's expensive, not just from salary standpoint, but all the benefits. It costs a lot to employ a person, and for someone like Catholic Charities to now have the means to take that on, that's a lot more good they can do for the community. And then on top of that, each Catholic school in the diocese was given, I can't remember if it was $20,000 or $40,000 that they could use at their discretion. So the principal had the choice of how much money they wanted to use. So a lot of this money has been used for very good purposes around the diocese. Mm-hmm. Very good. But there is definitely a discussion on whether or not he should have spent as much money as he did on the home. Like it or not, it's there. And there's a committee meeting right now.
It's going on
right now at this moment at the Chancery in Smyrna, talking about whether they should sell the home and find him a smaller place to live, or if they should keep it. And, you know, and from that point, if they keep it, what else to do to help kind of, you know, deal with the Pope Francis effect, if you will, on where people should be living or not living.
You'll remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago, we had Father Dwight Longenecker on the show. I think it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? He wrote the book, The Romance of Religion. He has a blog on Patheos, and he took on this this subject about archbishops and living in large homes and that kind of thing. And should I read a little bit of it?
Yeah, please.
Okay. This blog is called Standing on My Head. So while everybody is pouting and posturing about the houses of archbishops and bishops, I'm going to strike a topsy-turvy perspective, yea, a discordant note. I think the Pope should live in the Apostolic Palace, and I think Archbishop Wilton should live in his brand new $2.2 million home. I think bishops should live in these grand homes, but they should do so like one of those impoverished English aristocrats who can't afford to heat their vast Downton Abbey, and so live in one room in the attic wearing three sweaters and eating cat food casseroles that they cook in a microwave or Hot Pockets in South Bend.
Hot Pockets!
Hot Pockets! They should live there in community with other priests or brothers if they are religious. They should open up the West Wing as a hostel for recovering addicts, and open up the East Wing as a women's shelter and bring in some Mother Teresa nuns to run the place. This would be a far more significant sign of contradiction than simply moving out to a mean little room somewhere, because it would say something more profound about worldly wealth and poverty. So, and it goes on. We'll have a link to Father Longenecker's opinion regarding not just what's happening right this moment in Atlanta regarding the new property, but also, you know, whether or not archbishops should live in palaces.
And popes. Archbishops and popes.
Exactly. Well, you know, the Pope is a bishop, right?
Bishops, right.
Bishop of Rome. And then what was it you're saying, or maybe Father Longenecker says something later in the thing. He says that Father Longenecker did say it, that he thinks the Pope should be living in the papal palace, and that he should invite other priests in to live with him there.
I wholeheartedly 100% agree. If I could agree more than 100%, I would.
Well, why don't we just do 110% then?
Perfect.
No, that's impossible.
I know it is. But you know what's weird? has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, but on my engine instruments, jet engines, it has like 100%, but you can like sometimes go up to 102, 103%, which is weird because I thought you could only go to 100%, but okay. I digress.
Anyways, I think it would be great. You know, I'm not sure what the committee is going to come out and say. If we'll find out today or we won't find out today, you know, maybe they need some more time to pray about it. No idea. When we'll find out the fate of the House. But you know, if they have prayed about it long and hard and they do decide to keep it, I don't think it's unreasonable to ask the Archbishop to have a couple of roommates. You know, the home, as far as I'm aware, you know, I haven't seen the plans for it. I don't know how many bedrooms there actually are. You know, if there's enough room, he should have a roommate or two come and stay. I imagine they built it so that each of them, the rooms, just like any rectory or facility like that, has a small bedroom, a small like living room space and its own bathroom. Because, you know, priests need to have their own space, like little small apartment type things, like dormitories. And also, you know, just for those who don't live in Atlanta, the Archbishop's home it's very Southern to invite people into your home, right? It's a thing. You throw lots of parties. You have people into your home. The Archbishop's home, almost every night of the week, is used for some sort of reception site. And so I can't tell you over the last couple of years how many receptions or dinners and things that I've been to there because it's free event space. You know, they hire caterers there's a couple people that I know that are Catholic caterers that come in and they always do this stuff and they do it very fairly priced because it's the Archbishop and it's the church, and they serve the event and do all of that, but it's free event space. And to all of a sudden lose the opportunity to have barbecues and dinners and things at a place that's paid for rather than have to search around and hunt to find a spot to hold all of these fundraisers and great things that happen is going to be, I think, really interesting dynamic for the diocese. I always thought it was felt like such an honor and a privilege to go to the Archbishop's house for an event. And I think it would be a shame to lose kind of that like grandeur of like a Southern thing where, oh my gosh, I get invited to someone's home.
But you know what? You really started it off with something, or maybe I guess Jeff said something about how the Francis effect has kind of colored this,
yeah,
with a different lens, because I don't think that that's just a uniquely Southern thing. I mean the idea of inviting someone into your home for any kind of celebration, I think is part of what we should be doing with the hospitality aspect of sharing our faith. What I find interesting is the Francis effect on this. You know, I think people are scandalized by it. And I'll tell you what, the HAC has, as most media outlets are, they can be very selective in the quotations that they want to put out there. And I think
you know that they searched and they found the few squeaky wheels. I'm actually dealing with a friend right now whose husband is at the council meeting.
Oh, really?
You know, that I can tell you that there is such a silent majority that has not speaking out on behalf of the Archbishop to defend him. Sure. You know what? I'll agree. It's great to hold people accountable for money like this. It's great. We should be doing that with our government officials. We should be doing that with our church officials. Everybody needs to be held accountable for public money that can be doing good. And maybe he didn't think about it enough before he acted.
I was going to say this might have something to do with the way everything was communicated and processed.
But I can tell you, I knew about all of this before it was public, just because I've got some priest friends, and it's, you know, really cool to hear about all this. It all happened really fast. Not to defend at all, but it did all happen super duper fast, and they had to make some very quick decisions. It does not justify their actions for not thinking about it more, but I could understand how they got caught up in it. Yeah, I mean, you know how easy that is to get caught up in things. I do think it's a good gut check, but I do think there are a few the minority is definitely trying to dictate what happens here and not the majority, and I think that's really a shame, and the Archbishop has been personally hurt by all this, and that should not also be. You know, he's a good man who has good intentions.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you the quotation, the quote that they used that was that killed me was, "Well, I need to." They put it up like he said, "Well, I need to smell like my flock."
Yeah, that. of all of the quotes, they chose that one sentence. They chose
that
one sentence. I'm sure they interviewed him for several minutes, and they chose that one sentence.
Was there for, you know, what he meant, if you could put it into context, was that he did this place to be able to open his home to people, and have the space to do so. And you know, at the end of the day, that's the community where he lives. I mean, the cathedral just happens to be
in one of the richest parts of Atlanta. And to build a home on that piece of property that didn't fit in with the rest of the community would have been a huge disservice to all the homes around it. It would have devalued them. Like, you know, you have to take into consideration the home that was built fits right in to the neighborhood that it's in. There's absolutely no doubt. You drive by and it looks exactly like every other home on the street.
Well, so a friend of mine said, okay, he should just sell the property, and he should move in 4 months or 6 months at each rectory if he really wants to smell like his flock.
Yeah, the problem there is there's not enough room for all of them to live there.
No, I mean, he'd really smell like.
But, you know, Father Corey said something in the chat room about the Francis effect, and you know, I feel very strongly about this. Like, I love Pope Francis. You know, he's our Holy Father, and I respect him. He took a vow of poverty. Not all priests do that, and we need to keep that in mind. He's a Jesuit, and with the Jesuit background, and that's his mindset. But not all priests do that, nor do they have to. They need to live modestly, and modest is defined by the community in which they live. And so what's modest in some parts of the world, some parts of the U.S., is going to be different than in other places. And, you know, this home was a gift to the diocese and to be used for more than sleeping quarters. And that's what the whole intention was. And so I'm outraged by all the outrage.
Well, I'm outraged by the outrage. How about his apology? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
His apology was beautiful. Yes.
I thought it was a very... I thought it was very heartfelt. I mean, it really, it moved me. The apology moved me. I think we need to also focus on the fact that he really called himself out. I mean, he really did come out and say, wow, I screwed up on this element. And I appreciated that. I thought it was a legitimate something to really, really take in.
And going back into the poverty aspect of things, as you were talking about, Sarah, and again, we're talking about Father Longenecker's article. He says, "See, what troubles me about the Franciscan embrace of lady poverty is that it is too easily misunderstood. People then come to think that there is something good about poverty and that it is somehow good to be poor. It's not good to be poor. It's bad to be poor. Neither is a poor person good just because he's poor. And then neither is it bad to own property or wealth. It's good to have nice things. It's good to enjoy life. It's good to enjoy God's blessings." And he talks about the fact that Father Longenecker says, that's why I'm Benedictine in temperament and commitment and not Franciscan. And then he talks about the vows of poverty and that kind of thing. So again, if you want to read more about what Father Longenecker had to say about the whole thing, we'll have that in the show notes. I'm sure Lynn will. She's probably already has that URL in the show notes, I bet.
She's so good like that.
I know. Okay. Well, anything else we want to say? Any kind of exclamation point on the top of our discussion of that little thing going on here in the Atlanta Archdiocese?
Let's just continue to pray for, you know, Archbishop Gregory, the committee that's meeting, and for all those who might have been hurt or offended by any of this, as well as just for all of our bishops around the country and around the world to make good decisions using funds like this moving forward to make sure that, you know, we can all agree on the most Catholic response, which does not necessarily mean the most poor response, the most Catholic response.
Right. I mean, that kind of reminds me of some of the things that people say, well, you know, the Vatican is so full of all this priceless artwork and everything else. Right. Why not just go ahead and sell it all? And then when you start thinking about what would happen if, you know, and how long that money it would take to be completely depleted if you took it and fed the world's poor. And then what do we have? We don't have anything left anymore. No beauty to look at. And, you know, and our church is a lot about beauty. The beauty of God, the beauty of eternal life. And I think that's the way that the church has expressed that longing for salvation, for its existence. So
we're a very tangible faith, and that's one thing that I love so much about it, is it's about the sight, the sound, the smells. These things are all important in our faith, and to lose all that would be just such a shame.
And the fish fries.
Well, yeah, oh, those fish fries.
And the fish fries.
That's what this whole thing is about.
This is all about fish.
About fish fries.
Fish fries at the bishop's house.
And really, really fancy fish fries at the bishop's house. All right, as we listen
they probably serve catfish.
Ew. Tastes like mud. Okay, Llewellyn's Leap, Alan Marchand in the background. Oh,
that's
there's,
my favorite. Here
there's
my
Maria. Let's listen to Maria play the saxophone. Yeah. Okay. So while she continues to play, we're going to talk about SQPN. That stands for the StarQuest Production Network. That's the network you're listening to right now. And if you'd like to be one of the many, many beautiful, loving people that support us financially, head over to SQPN.com. SQPN.com/donate, and you too can become a friend of SQPN. And of course, we always appreciate your prayers, because without prayers, where would any of us be, really? So, but if you have a little extra cash to spend on charitable contributions, we'd like for you to consider SQPN.com when you do, whatever that means. Let's see, if you want to support us in other ways, you want to do some shopping for Amazon.com, go to SQPN.com. Look for the Amazon.com banner, and there's one for several different countries, by the way. And make your purchase on Amazon after you've clicked through using that link, and we will get some of the proceeds from your purchase. And it's a nice, easy way to support the work at SQPN.com or SQPN. And finally, if you're just hankering to start your own blog like Catholic Drinky and Another Cup of Coffee, BegoJohnson.com, you can by going over to SQPN.com, clicking on the Bluehost banner, and signing up for Bluehost. And again, we'll get a nice generous fee from Bluehost if you do. So that is that. So let's listen. Maria, you're still playing.
Yeah, I am still playing.
That's good stuff.
I needed to catch my breath there. So.
Yeah. All right. I think it's just about finished. Love it. All right. So, how are we doing on the time here?
Happy birthday, Father Robert.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
You know what?
Oh, I am so sorry. Is that what you've been trying to communicate to Maria? When I was talking about SQPN.com, I saw these little messages coming across my screen, and I was trying not to be distracted by it, but I have to make a huge announcement. I mean, Lynn has sponsored today's show. Lynn Francisco, the one who does all the hard work of getting all the show notes together and organizing us and trying to corral us at times, but we're uncorrallable.
God bless her.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Lynn said, you know what? Today, actually today, isn't it? The 5th of April.
April 5th is a big day,
especially in the Netherlands. I think it's a holiday, actually. Father Roderick Van Hogen's birthday.
He turns 60.
63, I think. No, he's not that old yet. I don't even think he's 50.
No, that's Jeff who's that old.
Hey.
He's younger than us.
I'm only 55.
Oh,
watch it.
Well, Father Roderick's not as old as
No, he's not 55. No. I don't even think he's 50. I think he's 50.
No, he's not. He has 40. His birthday up on Facebook.
And what? Yeah. So how old is he?
It says he's 46.
Okay, that makes sense. So, Father Roderick, happy birthday. Can I say, okay, let's. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Father. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Woo-hoo.
Now, too bad that Lynn isn't here, because she could be playing the organ in the background, happy birthday. And I'll probably get fined by ASCAP or somebody for for singing happy birthday. But anyway, it's worth it. I'm ready to go down for you, you know, copyright violations and stuff. Anyway, so Lynn, thank you, thank you, thank you for sponsoring today's show. If you want to sponsor a show, by the way, that's why she thought of it, I bet, because I was talking about ways you can help support SQPN. You can sponsor a show. Now, people are sponsoring Father's Show all the time, but nobody wants to sponsor
us. Is it because we're such a train wreck?
You so totally sounded like Rush Limbaugh.
Did I?
Said that.
Well, let me just say that there's a good reason why Father's Shows get sponsored and not ours.
Choo-choo.
Yeah, shut up. So anyway, but Lynn, thank you so much for sponsoring this show. And thank you for making the point that we should be thinking about our dear father, not our dear father in heaven, but we should always think about him, of course. The other one over in the Netherlands.
This just went down the wrong
way. Where am I going with this? Help. Somebody
Many
take
over. Many happy returns, Father Roderick.
Many happy returns, Father Roderick. I guess he's taking the day off. Somebody told me he wasn't doing any podcast today. So
good for him.
Good for him.
So now let me look and see what's going on here. The tune is a copyright. Yeah, I know. I think it's Warner Brothers now owns it. And then let me go over here.
That should be public use.
It should be. You know the...
we start a website about that?
You know, the Airman and Oat. I like to play a lot of Airman and Oat stuff. And I played some of it on my podcast, my aviation podcast. And that, you know, it's on YouTube and, you know, you're flagged for, you know, third party content or whatever. And somebody was trying to claim copyright on the U.S. Air Force Airman of Note. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to dispute this. You can't copyright. That's the U.S. government. It's not, you can't copyright it. Right? Maria? Somebody? I thought that's the rule. Anyway, I disputed it. We'll see what happens. But not that it, you know, makes any difference. It's just... pissed me off. Excuse me.
Look,
it upset me.
Sarah just sent me a text message.
What did she say?
Free the birthday song.
is that our new organization?
Yeah.
Free the birthday song.com.
I'd say that should be the title of the episode, except that that would just draw attention to it.
Well, anyway, so.
It should be in the public domain, but it's not.
Yeah, it should be. It should be. But, okay. Well, thank you again. I should have started the show by saying that this is, you know, I'll do that. After the fact, I'll put this show is sponsored by Lynn Francisco in honor of Father Roderick's birthday.
Our godfather.
Our god, the podfather.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
You know that there's a one of those collision places for body work in town in Rockdale County that's called Rodfather's.
Oh.
That's awful.
The Rodfather. Oh yeah, that's okay, let's don't go there.
Yeah, okay. Let's move on.
Let's move on and talk about
sideways.
Something else. Can anybody think of anything else?
Hey, I provided
You did. You did. I am very, very impressed. I know what we can talk about. I just remembered. Hang on. Let me move over here.
Can we talk about how dapper Captain Jeff is when he wears his Delta outfit?
Only when I wear
Acme Airlines outfit. Yeah.
That's okay. You can say Delta.
The math, not the airline.
Let's listen to this.
Traveling through Denver this weekend, and he just stopped by, and we started having conversations about Saints, and I stopped everything, and I said, we need to go podcast this, because joining us for the show... our very good friend, Dr. Paul Camerata from the SaintCast. Dr. Paul!
Welcome!
Well, thank you guys so much. It is great to be here in Parker.
So the last time...
downtown Parker.
The last time we saw you was when we were driving through your neck of the woods when we were moving here, and we crashed your home, and as our five-year-old reminded me this morning... we urinated in your bed.
I don't remember that.
We did not.
I
did not.
Okay, if you want to hear more...
That's the clip you decided to play?
Yes.
That's such a guy.
I wanted to.
Like, what's this guy?
I forgot that
a man would choose that. A woman would not.
Now look, I just found the. I don't. It wasn't even a clip. I just went to their podcast and started playing it where Paul Camerota was introduced, I'd forgotten that he talks about somebody peeing in the bed. And if you want to find out who it was that peed in Paul Camerota's bed, you need to go over to the latest Catholics Next Door podcast, number 39, and we'll have that in the show notes as well. Thank you to Lynn, the sponsor of today's show, episode number 218, Catholic Weekend. It's a train wreck waiting to happen. So,
what do you mean waiting? It's already
happening. Yeah, train wreck. It's a train wreck happening.
This is take two. <It is.
laughs> Yeah. Well, we're not going to go there.
Okay. I want you to know so many places. Spent the entire episode blogging.
Oh, great. No wonder you've been so
quiet.
Amiss.
Contributory. Contributive.
Hey, what can I tell you?
Well, I'm glad that you were able to do something during this time.
Sorry, I talked a lot, you guys.
No. That was great. Usually, Sarah is just sitting there not saying a thing, and today it was awesome. You need to do that more often.
Okay.
It was fabulous.
I don't like to scare people because I can actually talk about things somewhat intelligently.
Not only, and passionately. That's great. It's a good talent to have. But anyway.
I've got to tell you, Sarah, before we get, are we doing the picks of the week?
Well, we could do that.
We could do that as a segue to it. I have a story to share with you, Sarah.
Okay.
Oh, I can't wait. So, not for you, though, Jeff. Put on your headphones.
Okay. So do I play the picks of the week thing first?
Well, okay. Yeah. Isn't it time for that anyway?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because I got to go brew beer here shortly.
Yeah, well, we don't want to, you know, keep you from doing something important.
It is super important.
I know. The picks of the week. We still need to prank her, have her come on and do that. A live picks of the week clip from Pat. Okay, yes, please, Maria, would you continue?
What?
You said you had like some kind of a segue for picture.
Now she's all, I ain't got nothing.
What are you talking about? I'm writing another blog post right now. Don't bother me.
What? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
So
see what I have to work with out here, people?
All right. So a couple of weeks ago, I got a message from blogger and catechist, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all this to say, I had lunch a couple of weeks ago with Allison Gingras, who is one of the writers she does the tech column at Catholic Mom and does the Gospel Reflection. But she also has a fantastic blog called Reconciled to You. So that's my pick of the week, to go check out Reconciled to You, Allison Gingras. Now, all of this is because as we were having lunch, we were at the Red Brick, at the Brick Store pub.
You cheated on me.
I was there. You were in Cincinnati.
My heart is broken.
Well, and I said, I'm so sorry that this is the weekend that you're here, because Sarah would have loved to have been here. With us.
I'm sorry that this is the weekend you're here. It's not very nice.
Well, I mean, you know, whatever. I'm hungover. And
there we have it, ladies and gentlemen.
I have even a better title for the show, but go ahead.
So anyway.
Mike came up with
it. We're talking, and she says, so is that really Sarah's name? And I go, Sarah?
Sarah who?
Sarah. And I said, fabulous. Oh, is fabulous her name? She says, yeah, I thought it was fabulous.
It might as well be.
I really wish that I could have a dollar every time someone had said that to me. I mean, like, I'm not kidding. I know I've said this before. You guys, I would be so freaking rich.
You could live right next door to the Archbishop.
I could.
You could buy the house and give it back to the Archdiocese.
You know what? If I won the lottery, you better believe that's what I would do.
Anyway, it made me laugh at John because John knew that I was friends with Sarah Reinhardt of Snoring Scholar. And so he would hear me say Sarah Fabulous, and he thought that I was saying Sarah Fabulous and that I was calling Sarah Reinhart Fabulous.
Oh, that's funny. That's really funny. Well, I mean, she is. She totally is.
She is fabulous. She is fabulous. But, yeah, so Allison was cute.
Very cute.
And you were missing. And we missed you.
Yes, wow. We did.
So all of this.
I didn't even know that I missed you, but I missed you.
You missed me.
No, so, she missed was the brick house or the brick.
Brick store pub.
Brick store.
Brick store pub.
Sorry. Never been there myself. Oh, wait a minute. No, I have.
Yes, you have.
I know. I'm
and
just
that,
kidding.
And that lovely beer that I had that you guys all thought was gross.
Well, it was
sour
different.
Beer.
Yeah.
No, it's you know what the sour beer tastes like? A Spanish thing called sidra.
It's so good.
What was the name of it again? It starts with a C.
Cantillon.
Cantillon.
Something like that. It's a Belgian thing. I don't know how to say it properly.
Cantillon or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I looked for it last time I was at Total Wine to see if they had it.
I don't know if we get it in Georgia, to be perfectly honest
with
you.
Yeah, I don't think
we
do.
Other places
get it in Georgia.
Yes. Well, Brickstore gets some beers that aren't actually distributed here because they know people.
I meant to. It was actually going on while we were talking on the show at 10:30. I think it's on again tomorrow at 10:30 on Peachtree. What's the name of the channel? Channel
Peachtree
17.
Peachtree TV.
Peachtree TV. They do like a little thing, and they go around various parts of town and restaurants and that kind of thing. And they have a thing this weekend about several of the beer places. And
oh,
I think
yeah.
The Brick Store is, I think,
one
of the.
On it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think,
yeah.
Okay.
They,
and Sweetwater.
Hop City.
Yeah.
Yes, Sweetwater. Hop City is a good place to buy beer in West Midtown. They were on there. I saw people tweeting about it.
Yeah, so I need to remember to record that because it's on again tomorrow at 10:30. So I know that.
Yes, you should be at church then.
Well, no, I'll be at church at probably 12:15.
Oh, okay.
So that's the way we do it here. It's the way we do it.
That's how they roll.
That's how we roll
in Roswell.
Yeah. I just found out that my daughter is gone for the week. She's on spring break, and she went to the beach with some family, and I just found out about it this morning.
Perfect.
She's gone. Yeah, that shows you how much I know around here. Okay, so Mike decides that the title of the story is Usually You Water the Lily, not the other way around. Okay, that's in reference to the other... Oh, never mind.
Yes, we
okay.
get it.
Okay, gotcha. All right, picks of the week. So your pick was what again? That was
Allison Gringas.
That's exactly right. And Sarah, what's your pick of the week?
I didn't really have one. I kind of used all my content to fill up the podcast hour. So
well,
how about Father Roderick's birthday? That's my pick of the week.
Wow. That's a great one. Father Roderick's birthday.
She pulled that out from under you, huh?
No. I actually had one. And it is this podcast called The Catholics Next Door. And here, let's listen
What's
to
that?
It.
What's that again?
Lily.
Oh, no.
Fail.
Oh, it's not playing anymore. Oh, well.
Tech fail.
Anyway, so you had a little taste of it. And that's their latest show. Paul Camerota was in Denver doing some other things. I think he was recording some stuff for a future Saint cast. He's been doing all kinds of sound. Actually, I have two picks of the week. The New Evangelizers Catholics Next Door podcast and the Saint cast. And I think we mentioned a week or two ago that there's a rumor that Paul is going to be publishing another episode of the Saint cast soon. And he was in Denver around with one of the priests there and going to various places. I guess there's somebody that they're thinking about promoting for sainthood, Julia Greeley or something like that. Anyway, they talk about it on the show. So you need to check out the latest The Catholics Next Door podcast number 39 and also the Saintcast, which is evergreen content. It never goes bad. It always stays green. And Paul is one of the pioneer podcasters in Catholic podcasting. And he's got well over 100 episodes recorded. And he's got an amazing voice. And he has an incredible passion for saints. And you can really learn a lot by listening to Dr. Paul's show. So, hey, remember, it ain't brain surgery. Well, no, it is. He's a brain surgeon. Never mind. It's not rocket science. So... those are my picks of the week. The Saint Cast, Paul Camerata, and the latest episode of The Catholics Next Door, episode number 39.
Super.
And they talk a little bit about, they reminisce a bit toward the end of the show, Maria, about the early days of SQPN. So you should listen to it. Of course, they don't mention anything about you or me. We're somehow, Maria and I are always excluded from all those reminiscences of SQPN. But that's okay. We don't mind.
Oh.
We're just in the background. We're just the peons.
We're like the parents.
We're like parasites, actually. You just can't, no matter what you do, you can't get rid of them.
You can't get rid
no.
of them.
No. When's this Maria and Captain Jeff guy going to stop doing that stupid Catholic Weekend podcast?
Oops, what about me?
We still on the air? Well, that's the only reason why we're doing it, because we have some new people.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway.
I'll just hand it over to you.
Yeah.
All right, people, it's 12. I have to go get the water boiling, or I'm not going to make it to 5 o'clock Mass on time.
Okay, well.
Oh, no.
Very good. Very well. Let's see. What do we have in store for this week? Hang on. I'll get my Catholic calendar out. It's April. Oh, I'm getting another message from somebody. Were you going to mention Dan Murkowski's something or other? Oh, yeah. Except for I didn't download it, so I'll play it next week. Dan, if you're there, we'll play that little promo that you, the little clip that you sent
Jeff's
me.
Been traveling, so you have to pardon
yeah,
him.
Yeah, you have to give me a break. Somebody's got to. April, what day is today? The 5th. So this is the 5th Sunday of Lent tomorrow. Don't see anything huge on the calendar. The week after that is a pretty big week. I think they call it Holy Week. At least they do here in Atlanta. So, okay. Thanks for helping me out, guys. Sarah and Maria are just sitting there going, wow, what kind of hole is he digging right now?
Okay, so if you're in the Atlanta area, the Cathedral of Christ the King is having their Lenten mission starting Monday night through Thursday night. I forget who the speaker is, but it's a priest, and I'm sure it's going to be very thrilling.
And we had some nuns over at our place.
Perfect. Maybe they could get together and just chat about theology.
I'm changing my name.
Wow. Well, this was fun.
End this quickly.
Yeah. So, here
Father
we go.
Father Simeon Gallagher, Losing and Rediscovering God, April 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th.
Okay. At the Cathedral.
Yes.
Of Christ the King.
Yes.
On Peachtree Road.
Yes.
You ever heard of that road in Atlanta?
No.
No.
You know, I went to school there.
Yes.
Yes.
I graduated.
We've heard that. And all those nuns that used to wrap your knuckles with their rulers.
Hey, no nun ever wrapped me anywhere. I did have a fifth grade English teacher that slapped me.
There are text messages coming through. I hear the...
It's not me. I don't know who's that.
My oldest daughter got a new puppy.
Oh.
Let's see. So,
okay. I'm getting pictures of the puppy.
So, Maria, Lynn says, don't forget about my sponsorship, Jeff. You idiot. Okay.
Listen
so,
to me. Stop reading your emails on the air and close out this train wreck.
Fascinating stuff.
We gotta go.
Okay.
We gotta go.
So, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. We did a lot of prep work on it, and...
I did a lot of prep work.
This was the Sarah Vabulous edition of Catholic Weekend, and it was fantastic. I enjoyed it anyway. So thanks for joining us, listening. For all those in the live chat room, thanks for hanging out with us again, giving us moral support. And again, a big thank you to Lynn Francisco for sponsoring this episode. And again, a big, huge happy birthday to our CEO and founder of SQPN, Father Roderick Van Hogen. And until next week, we'll see you. Well, what do I say here? Have a great week. And until next time, we'll see you here again. I don't know.
Thank you, and God bless.
God bless.
Oh, that's it. Bye.
leading the way in Catholic new media.
That was terrible!
Horrendous!
I'm offended!
I'm appalled!
So what are we going to do?
What else? Email it to everybody we know!
Good idea.